All right, the acronym GAP. It means, stands for the Grace Apparatus for Perception. The perceiving, just what we've been through now in Peter, the perceiving of Bible doctrine is based on grace. And there is a specific mechanism that we are given in order to discern and understand Bible doctrine and all the spiritual ramifications that's associated with it. And we call that GAP. You sit in Bible class, you're in fellowship, you listen to Bible doctrine, you're under GAP. Versus, as we'll see, the opposite acronym we use is NAP. That's the natural apparatus perception, under the flesh. So you can either sit here and GAP it, or you can sit here and NAP it. Like you're asleep. Alright, Roman numeral 1, now you got to understand some individual vocabulary terms here and definitions. First, dichotomous, which I have been explaining. That's a technical term to refer to the fact that the unbeliever possesses only a body and soul. Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. That's man. Under the doctrine of fear. Sin fear is being afraid of things apart from a fear of God. And we're not to be afraid what people can do to us. And obviously, people can take other people's lives. But we're not to fear these who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul. Well, whatever they do, your physical body, that's one thing they can't touch is your soul. On the other hand, Jesus states, but rather fear him, that's righteous fear, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You don't see spirit in hell, just the soul and body. And that looks obviously for the unbeliever, their soul being incarcerated, if you will, in present-day hell, which is located in the center of our earth. God supernaturally has a compartment down there where souls go. And it awaits, again, doctrine that a lot of believers may not understand, coming out of the fundamentalist world or otherwise. But everybody, every individual, will receive a resurrection body. But the resurrection bodies are different types. And the unbeliever will also receive a resurrection body. The book of Revelation makes this clear to us. And in John, the Gospel of John makes it clear to us. Those resurrection of the good and those resurrection of the bad. And that resurrection body for the unbeliever is designed for them to live all eternity as their souls are transformed from the compartment of hell. Well, that's got to happen because at that point in time, at the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment of all unbelievers, happens upon after the dissolution of our present heaven and earth. So these souls are left without anything to stand on, if you will. And they are given a new resurrection. They're given resurrection bodies. These resurrection bodies are designed for them to then be transported and live all eternity in the lake of fire. Then the resurrection body of the believer is conducive in regards to our new eternal state, living in glory and bliss and everything else. So you got to understand that all men will experience eternal life in one form or fashion. If you want to call hell a lake of fire, eternal life, it's not. It's eternal torment. It's eternal damnation. You say, well, how can God do that? I don't know, you flip him off all your life, ask him when you get there. That's what I say to an unbeliever. How could a loving God send someone to hell? Well, flip him off all your life, don't believe in Jesus Christ, and ask him when you get there. Instead of taking these things up with me in an issue, you know. And then you have compared to that, trichotomous, which means three parts. That's point B, another technical term. That means that the believer possesses a body, soul, and human spirit. Now, conducive to the believer, we have 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So you've got to put these things together, which I'm sure glad have been a lot of people have studied in front of me. 5:23, Paul's prayer is, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And he's addressing believers. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. That looks at the human spirit, which is unique to the believer. without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So see, then you have certain Greek vocabulary that gives us insight and help in regards to this doctrine. One is the first Greek word is psychikos, P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S. It's used six times. It's derivative of psuche, which is soul. It refers to the natural physical life that is possessed by man and animals. Men and animals. Now, animals don't have souls, but the term psychikos can refer to an animal. But it looks at the emphasis looks at natural life. For mankind, natural life is inclusive of both the soul and body united. Death is simply the soul being unplugged from the body, and the body shuts down, see, and it ceases to exist. It's the energy plant. Very sophisticated, invisible, you can't see it, but it's there. So psychikos is a term used to refer to the unbeliever who lives like an animal, ruled entirely by the physical realities of life. We would say a worldly or natural man, a fleshly man, Jude 19, used in that vein. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, the psychikos, devoid of the spirit. Okay. It's unbelievers, false teachers. They exist in the last days. They're actually unbelievers. But they have the banner of Christianity over their churches or the Bible or whatever. Wolves in sheep clothing. Next term is sarkikos, S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S. It's also used six times. It's a derivative of sarks, which means flesh. Here, the emphasis why it has a similarity to psychikos. There's a different emphasis. Sarkikos is one that is controlled by the flesh. That's its emphasis. Although he is a believer. It refers to one that is under the influence and domination of the STA. And 1 Peter 2:11. We'll see it when we get there. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, from psychikos, which wage war against the soul. So Peter's explaining that as believers we now have a new human spirit, we have a new nature, and we have God the Holy Spirit. We have two potential rulers over our life. Now who are you going to allow to rule over the real soul, over the real you, the soul? We call the soul the real you because that's where your choices are made. It expresses really what you are, apart from any information that or knowledge one may have. So three, and then finally in the spiritual realm we have pneumatikos, P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. It's used 28 times. It's derivative of pneuma, which means spirit or spiritual. Pneumatikos, spiritual man, is used to refer to believers that are in fellowship, ruled by the Holy Spirit with the STA isolated. Example there, 1 Corinthians 3:1. And our brothers cannot speak to you as to spiritual men. As pneumatikos. But as to men of the flesh. That's looking at their sarkikos. See, your difference. As to babes in Christ. All right, we'll pick this up Sunday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see these things. Bring us back to the next Bible class. Say it in the sound of Jesus' name. Amen.